Fear's a terrible thing. Have you ever been frightened? Have you ever been scared? Afraid of various things. I've had times in my life where I've been scared silly. You know, I've been times in my life when I've looked at stuff that's coming up and gone, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt when you've looked at the task that you've had ahead of you and you have saw all of the stuff, you said, I have no idea what way to find through all of this. I am so ill-equipped, I'm not up to the job, and God, if you do not help me, I'm never getting through this. You ever felt like that? I felt like that. Have you felt like this year past? I sure have. Many of us are looking at this year ahead of us, and you're thinking the same thing. Lord, make 2016 better than 2015. I don't want to fall into the same old cycles. There's all this stuff lying out in front of me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you know what the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1? It tells us that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. Nothing can destroy your effectiveness or shrivel you up like fear. Nothing can reduce you being able to maximize your potential in life and in the things of God than being afraid. Fear will steal away your joy. It'll steal away your peace. It'll steal away your sleep. It'll steal away your health. It'll steal away your prosperity. Fear will want to wind you up and looking inwards all the time so you never move forward. And the devil wants to continually tell you you're not up to the job. There's no way through this. It's too much. Well, the word that I believe God has for us this morning is the word of a man who was shaking in his boots. He was absolutely terrified. He felt inadequate. He looked at the job ahead of him and the promises of God, and he said, seriously, Lord, there's no way I can do this. And yet he became a man who was identified by God as the man who would usher in a whole new kingdom, a whole new way of life, a whole new dispensation, if you like, a whole new promised land. This man's called Joshua. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. And it's really interesting. There's nothing in the Bible by mistake. Okay, God is not a God like many preachers are, and hopefully I'm certainly not going to be one of them this morning, I hope, that talks too much, say stuff in excess. When God says something, it matters. And actually, see, when God says something three times, it's really important. Okay? And we'll come on to that in a second. But let's read this. So this is the Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's a class. Now, get in the context. Remember, the children of Israel had been led by Moses in that such a phenomenal way out of Egypt. And they, we know, had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And as a consequence of the sins that they had committed, the Lord said, none of you are going to enter into the promised land. Okay? And so the next generation came, but God says, I've got a land for you, I've got a promise for you, I've got a place of rest, a place of prosperity, a place where it's a land flowing of milk and honey. You will be able to reap from things that you didn't sow. I am going to bless you. That's what God promised them. Even Moses didn't even get into it. And God says to Joshua, you're the man. He's got an entire nation, and we know how, what they were like. Yeah, we know how often they rebelled. If you like, how often and how quick they were to point their finger at Moses and say, what are you doing? But God has forgotten us. And he knew the job and the difficulties of the job. He was right beside Moses throughout Moses' leadership of the children of Israel. So he was there and he had seen firsthand what it took. And he looked at it and said, I'm not up to this job. Why do you say that, Phil? Well, God tells him three times. Three times God says to him in the NIV, be strong and courageous. I prefer the old King James, the New King James version of this. Be strong and of good courage. It's something more about that, isn't it? You know, of good. It's not just being courageous, it's being of good courage. So three times, we've got the next slide there, please. So three times God says to him, be strong and courageous. He tells it to him in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. He also tells him in verse 9, be not afraid or dismayed. So, everything in the Bible is there for a reason. So, if God said something three times, once he says to them, do not be afraid or dismayed, and three times he says, be strong and of good courage. Now, if it was important enough for God to reiterate it three times to him, does that not suggest that Joshua was, I was going to say kicking it, but absolutely, I just did, terrified about what was ahead. And he says, don't be afraid or dismayed. That's the New King James version of that. Do not be afraid or discouraged is the NIV. The word, the Hebrew word for afraid here, and we'll see this in the next slide there, is my pronunciation. It comes from the root word aratz. That's not the correct pronunciation. But it says, cause to tremble. Don't be trembling. Don't be shaken. It says, to feel dread, to be overawed or shocked. That's how he felt, or dismayed. Here was from the Hebrew word there that meant broken, shattered, terrified, or wailing. So what he's saying is, what I don't want you to be is somebody who's trembling, shaking, unsteady, tottering on the edge, dreading, feeling overawed, shocked, broken, shattered, terrified, wailing. Does that describe anybody's life at any stage in their experience? Because it certainly describes where I've been. God says, don't be like that. Well, what does he want us to be like instead? He wants it to be something else, doesn't he? And I look at that and I think that that describes what Joshua was like, because he's telling him, don't be like this, because that's what he was like. Now, if you're selecting a leader, what qualities are you going to look for? You're looking for strength, you're looking for courageous, you're looking for the complete opposite of these things, aren't you? But isn't that the beauty of God? He takes the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. In fact, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 29, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. There's a really important principle here. God is best glorified when there's less of us. Yeah? The more there is of God and the less of us, the more God is able to move. The more we get out of the way and enable God to move, the more it makes way for him to display his power and his strength and his glory. He chooses the weak things and the foolish things. By virtue, therefore, when you look at people within the economy of God and within the Christian world, and we see people who are blessed, let's not look and say they're brilliant. Okay, but we can look and say they must be really weak. And if you start to get up yourself a little bit and get a bit of a big head that, oh, fantastic, I'm so powerful, God's blessing me. He's blessing you because he chooses foolish things. Yeah. If you're feeling really strong in your own strength, then that's an illusion and you actually are very, very weak. But if you're weak in your own eyes and you rely on the strength of God, this is a really important principle as we go into this year, then you're truly strong. So when God tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage, what he's not saying is, come on, toughen up. Come on, catch yourself on. And I was rebuked this week for saying man up. Someone saying that it's not PC or at all appropriate. So I'm not going to say it. I'll say toughen up. Okay? Tighten up, as we'd say around this part of the world. Come on, seriously. That's not what God's saying. God doesn't look at you when you're feeling dismayed and when you're feeling inadequate, when you're feeling fearful. He doesn't just say, come on, catch yourself up, John. Get stronger. Have a bit of courage. That's not what he's saying. That's not what God's saying. What he's saying is, I'm going to paint a picture of what I want you to be like, and as we unravel all of this, we'll just demonstrate how God has a plan in order to make it happen. But what he is saying is that don't be worried because you feel inadequate. Don't be worried if you feel afraid, and don't be worried if you feel like you're not strong enough. Because it's not uncommon. When God called Moses, what did Moses say? Oh, no, you can't do it. I'm a man. I can't speak. I'm not great speech. When he called Gideon, I can't do that. God, when he called Saul, I'm the least, you know, and of all of the tribes. He called Jeremiah. He called all of these people throughout the Bible. Consistently, we see these people who were greatly used by God. And initially, when God called them, they said, Lord, I'm not up to the job here. Well, you're perfect for God to use. You get this year, see the things God's speaking into your life. God has given people promises this year. God has put promises into people's lives here. And you've been carrying them around going, I can't actually make this happen. And God, I really believe, is telling us at the start of 2016, he's saying, in order to enter into those promises, you have to embrace who you are, recognize your own weakness, your own inability to make it happen, and learn from the lessons that I told Joshua. But we need to be strong and of good courage. Three times God says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. There's no coincidences in the Bible. Number three is really significant. Numbers are important in the Bible. And the number three that we know is the number that is associated with divine perfection. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you see the number three, we see something happening three times in the Bible, it carries added weight and significance. See, because if something happens once, it could be by chance. If it happens twice, it could be by coincidence. But when it happens three times, there's a pattern. And so we pay attention. We remember in our own nature, not only do we reflect God's nature, his triune being, we are body, soul, and spirit. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There were three things put in the Ark of the Covenant. Remember Aaron's staff that budded, the law, and then the jar of manna. We remember that God called Samuel three times. Remember Peter denied Jesus three times, and then three times afterwards on the shores of the lake of Galilee, he restored him. He said, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. He said that three times. We remember that a cord of three strands isn't broken easily. And consistently through the Bible, three is repeated over and over again as something that's really important. So when God says three times, it was worthwhile God saying to Joshua three times, be strong and of good courage, there's something really important in it. You know what's really important as well? Really interesting. If you look at verse 18 of Joshua 1, I'll just read it there. The last verse of Joshua chapter 1, it says, whoever rebels against your command, this is the people talking to Joshua, and does not heed your words in all that you command them shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. It's not only God was telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage, the people were telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage. So the people looked at him and goes, you're our leader, but look at you. You're not acting like a leader. We need a leader who's strong and of good courage. So four times he was told. What's the number four represent in the Bible? Number four is the representation of creation and all universality. And so we have man, the created person, adding to God's three to make four. And so we see the perpetuity or the perpetual nature of saying, God saying, be strong and of good courage in all of the heavenly divine perfection and in the created order as well. Isn't that amazing? Four times. He's told, be strong and of good courage. Well, what does that really mean? What does the word strong mean? Because I love to really try and tease out some of these things. Well, strong doesn't just mean like, you know, be like the world's strongest man that's been on this week. You know, it's Christmas when you're watching the world's strongest man, the old Atlas stones. I always fancied myself there, but Lord didn't bless me. I'm stronger than I look. Lord didn't quite bless me with the height. But it's not just talking about being really strong, it's talking about physical and mental strength. Yeah, it's talking about being mighty, but being solid, being firm, being secure. Courage, being solid, something that you can fasten upon, something that's fortified, obstinate, stubborn, hardened, a mental and a physical alertness. God's telling him to be solid, to be steadfast, to be unshaken. Something that these people can fasten onto and will lead these people into the promises of God. That's where you need to be. Contrast that with what he was, fearful and dismayed, unstable, dreading, shocked, broken, shattered, terrifying, shaken. How do you get from that to there? Lord, I know what you want me to be, God. I know what you're calling me to be, but I'm like this. How do I get there? Can you see the contrast? How can it be possible for a man to go from there to there? Well, this is what I love, and you see this throughout the Bible, and you see it in Hebrew literature over and over again. There's this wonderful thing of putting parallels or one side of the coin, and it calls out these three times, be strong and of good courage. But how? And three times God gives the answer in that perfect triune way. Three times he says in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Again, verse 5, I will not leave you or forsake you. And then in verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, so three times we get the perfect reassurance of the presence of the triune God with him. The triunity of God, three times, past, I was with Moses, present, I'm with you now, future, I'm never going to leave you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that phenomenal? So we see all of time, eternity, universality. We see God, man, the perfect word of God, three times said, be strong and of good courage, because I'm with you. Be strong and of good courage, not because you're good, because actually what you are right now is fearful and dismayed. But be strong and of good courage. Why? Because I'm right with you, and I never change. I am strong, I am firm, I am mighty, I am solid, I am secure, I am the one that you can fasten yourself onto, you can fortify yourself with. I am the Lord who changes not. He is the one in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. John mentioned this morning, this is the one that we sang about. He is the one that no matter where he goes, the mountains melt like wax before him. He's all-powerful, immutable, unchangeable. He's our God, and he's the one who's saying, be strong. Why? Because I'm with you, and I will strengthen you. Isn't that amazing? His perfect presence, all-reaching. And again, it's reiterated that fourth time. So you see, again, every time is be strong. Verse 17, just before the people say to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, what they say to him, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you, only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Isn't that amazing? So every time you see be strong and of good courage, it's countered or associated with God's presence with you. If you try to be strong and courageous on your own will, it's going to come to nothing. Do you want to be strong today? I do. Do you want to have good courage? Do you want to move into the promises of God? Where do we get them? In the presence and in the place of God placed before us. His perfect presence, all-reaching, all-powerful, all-sufficient, the immovable, unchangeable God is with us. And that's why we can be strong, solid, and unshaken. It's his presence that changes the perspective from one of fear to one of blessing, from one of lack to one of prosperity. Let's turn to Psalm 16, one of my favorite psalms. Amazing. I'm going to read just verses 5 through 11. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. We just sang it. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Remember the old King James version, in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And actually what that's saying, that eternal pleasures is abundant, overflowing, never-ending pleasures that are found where? At the right hand and in the presence of God. I actually prefer the New King James, the King James version of verse 8 here that I've highlighted. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Not just I'll keep my eyes on the Lord. But I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be tottering, shaken, thrown around. I will not be fearful and dismayed, just like Joshua. Unsteady. If you pick that verse out, what that verse is telling us, and when you take, if you like, all the meaning and the richness of the original text, it says, because I have consciously and conspicuously set God in front of me, because he is vividly present at all times, perpetually and constantly with me at my right hand in the place of honor, in the place of strength and power, I will not be shaken, made to totter, slip, grow weak, or come to disorder. Isn't that phenomenal? Because I have consciously and conspicuously set God in front of me. Because he is vividly present at all times. It's really important to consciously, conspicuously present God in front of you. To make him vividly present in everywhere you find yourselves. Because he is perpetually and constantly at my right hand. Because he is in my place of honor. The right hand, when someone said, he's going to be my right hand man, we still use that term, don't we? When something's at your right hand, it's the place of honor, it's the place of power. Whenever someone says, he is my right hand, that was the place in which people would have wielded their sword or their weapon. So when it says, I'm going to raise my right hand, it's a picture of power and authority. Because God is in that place of strength and power. Because my eyes are fixed on him, because he is vividly present to me, because I'm looking at him, because he is at my right hand in the place of honor in my life, because he is my strength, what's going to happen? I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be made to totter. I'm not going to be made to slip. I'm not going to be made to grow weak. I'm not going to come to disorder. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to enter into promise. And this is the same verse that was quoted by the Apostle Paul in Acts 2 and 25 on the day of Pentecost when he spoke in that great sermon on the day of Pentecost and how it was fulfilled through the life of Jesus and then come through us. Can you see it? You see where I'm getting at here? You see, we're going, the source of our strength, the source of our hope, the source of our security is found where? In the presence of God. But the really important thing is that we need to consciously place God at the center of it all. He has to be, I love that term, he has to be vividly present in all we do. Imagine God was vividly present in 2016 in what we're doing. If God was vividly present and at our right hand in 2016 in Exchange Church or in your life or wherever you're going, do you believe that we would see fruit and growth and promise? Because the natural product and outflowing of the presence of God is blessing. The natural product of placing God vividly at the center of things and depending on him is rest, well-being, provision. He is our portion. He is our cup. It says, my heart is glad. I have joy. My tongue rejoices. My body rests secure. So it's not just up here. It's actually in the physical realm as well. And there is pleasures and joy that will never be affected by anything that we ever encounter. Forevermore. Joy forevermore. See, when I place God conspicuously at the center of it all, I'm not going to be shaken. And if there's one really important lesson I think God's told me this year past in 2015, is God says, keep putting me center. Keep drawing me center. See, when you think you can't do it, what's the answer? Work harder. Put a bit more effort in. Sweat at your brow. Panic. Read a few books. Talk to friends. No, come to God. Put his presence at the center of it. Get into the presence of God. Consistently, over and over again, historically, what have I tried to do? Knock my pan in and work harder. When it gets hard, work a bit harder. When the going gets tough, put my head down, work a bit harder. Get out the other end and you're feeling washed out, wiped out, fragile. Anybody ever done that? God said to me this year, he said, what I want you to do, Phil, is come into my presence. And in that, what you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find a place of fruitfulness. You'll find a place of provision. You'll find a place of prosperity. You'll find a place whenever you put me in the center of it all and that you make my life vividly present in your life and you depend on me. And you know what? It's amazing. I've tried it. Guess what? Works. I'm a bit slow on the uptake. I probably should have figured this out long ago. I went through a really difficult, challenging few months there before the end of the year. really difficult that I know historically I would have reached the end off and just been completely flat. But God said to me, what you need to do is keep coming to this place. Keep coming to this place over and over again. Lock into me, into my presence. Stop relying on your own strength. Start relying on mine. Do you know what? It's amazing how it flows. It's amazing. Because in that place, the world can throw whatever it likes at you. But with God in my right hand, nothing can touch me or cause me to totter, to fail, and nothing can shake me. I will be unshaken when I am in him, because he is unshakable. Do you notice the totality of the promises of God? He says, every place, this is back to Joshua again, every place you set the sole of your foot, I've given it to you. It's already yours. Wherever you're going, every place you set the sole of your foot, no one is going to be able to stand against you. I will never leave or forsake you. You will prosper wherever you go. Can you see the totality of it all? Can you see the terms there as well? Most of the places you go, I'm going to bless you with. You know, you'll be able to stand against most people, but there are a few that might overcome you. Occasionally, you're going to be on your own. I'm going to leave you. And you'll prosper in these things, but you're not going to prosper in those things. That's not what God says. When you're in God, with God, everything is covered by God and in his grace. So wherever you go, wherever you set the sole of your foot, it's blessed. Whoever you talk to, they're blessed. Whatever you turn your hand to, it's blessed. Why? Because he's never, ever going to leave you or forsake you. It's not just a church context. In your work, do you want to be blessed? Put God vividly present in your life, and wherever you go, you will prosper, and he will give it a fruit. Because in him we abide and live, and that fruit flows from, he is the vine, we are the branches. When I abide in him, the fruit flows. I don't unhook my abiding or my home in God when I go to work. If I detach myself from him, I'm dead. I've got to keep attached in everything I do, in my family, in my relationships at home, with my friends, with my work, in church, everything. There is a totality of this. There is no place that is beyond the authority and mastery given to you by God. Because he said, you will go, and I have given you authority to go into this place. I've called you to lead these people. I'm giving you authority. We have been told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2 that we are ambassadors for Christ. Emissaries is the term. And the Greek term that's used there is one carrying the full authority of the ruler or the emperor. So you are an ambassador with Christ, with the full authority and rule of Christ that you can make known to people all around you. Jesus said, what did he say? I have to go now and send a helper so that you may do greater things than I've done. You know what he said in John 14? Everywhere. Joshua's feet weren't special. He didn't have special feet that he touched them. Oh, it's mine. Oh, it's mine. Not like that. Why? Because he stepped out in the authority and the power of God, who is immutable, unchangeable. Notice he's talking about it in past tense. I've already given it to you. Wherever your foot goes, it's yours already. It's there. All you've got to do is walk into it. The promised land, it's yours. Just walk into it. Isn't that amazing? It's all yours. What you have to do is be strong and courageous. Step up in God. It's his victory. I have given to you. Notice, wherever you place your foot, you're going to go in and you're going to do a great job. No, you're going to step in there and I've got it all given. I've got it all ready for you. It's all God. No place and no one is outside the rule and power of God. God says he's going to build his church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Wherever you go, nothing can withstand against you. When you are in that place and vividly, conspicuously place God there and he's at your right hand, when you move in that place, nothing can stand against you. Nothing. No place, no person, no time is what it tells us. Because of his presence. Everything blessed, everything prospered. We don't have time to talk about what that means about being prospered and the prosperity of it and success. But the key thing in here is that the word used for prosper is to have success and to act wisely. It's not just about prosperity of having stuff. That's a lot of nonsense. It's just stuff. Stuff's just stuff. When you want to prosper, what it's saying is not just material, but it infers that Joshua will be successful, and he will have prosperity because of his prudent wisdom and insight that God gives him, and that gives him success. Yeah. It's not like, here, I'm just have some stuff. God says, I'm going to bless you and give you wisdom, and you're going to lead well, you're going to step out into the promises of God, you're going to have success, and you're going to claim these promises because I've got them waiting for you. That is what prosperity is. Moving into what God already has for you. It's a good place to be, isn't it? To step into it. I look at that and I think moving into that place in 2016, it's exciting, John. Time's nearly away. Let's read, because we're bookending. Like, you could dine out for weeks and weeks and weeks on just this passage we've read this morning. But we have to pick up. But let's read what happens. That's the start of Joshua. That's the start of his life. You can read the book of Joshua. I encourage you to read it. But then he's in his last words. He's finishing his time. What does he say to the people? Let's look at that. So it's Joshua 23, verses 6 through to 10. This is Joshua speaking to the people now. Be very strong. Isn't that great? He's the one having to be told four times, three by God and one by the people, to be strong and courageous. Now who's doing the telling other people to be strong? Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the left, to the right, or to the left. And then on to verse 8. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God. I love that. Be strong. Hold on to God. Don't let him go. Hold on to God, hold fast to him, do not let him go, as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, not one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So now, I love it. So now what, guys? Fight harder, work harder, do whatever? No, what's the key thing that it all boils down to? So now be very careful to love the Lord your God. Isn't that class? Hold on to God and love him. See, if you want to have success in life, Joshua's saying, I'm about to go. Do you want to plant and sustain and live in this land of promise and prosperity? To see nations driven out from before you? To stay in this place? Be strong, hold on to God, and love him. He says there's no grace in the Old Testament. Verse 14, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. Isn't this what a testimony for your life? You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Isn't that class? Does anybody feel like God's promises have failed? Has anybody had a promise from God and they felt, where is it? I don't see it, God. Have you? I have. God's promises never fail. They are as solid and sure as you could ever imagine, as he himself. He never changes. He never falters. He never fails. If he's promised you something, then all you got to do is hold on. Place yourself in him. The vivid presence, into that presence. And I believe, wholly believe, that when you move into that place where he is vividly present, when he is your strength, not your own strength, when you rely on him, it's not about you, it's all about him, then I believe that is the time where the breakthrough comes and the promises are delivered. That is when we hold on and we see that little baby, David, that little boy, there's promise of God and anointing in his life, isn't there? He is going to be used mightily of God, and not one promise will fail. People have spoken promises and prophecies over that child. People have prayed for him, and God has heard every one of them, and God will bring it to fruition. You might not always see it, but what do you got to do? You got to be strong and of good courage. Because right now, I don't feel like it. When you say, I'm with you, I'm never leaving you, I'm never forsaking you, it's perfect, it's complete, it's total. And at the end of it all, Joshua looked back at a prosperous life, a life blessed and honored by God, where not one single promise. This man, shaking, tottering, feeling inadequate, the end of his life looks back and goes, if there's something really important that I want to leave with you guys, this is what he said, hold on to God. Don't let go. Stay close to him. Love him. get stuck into his word. And in that place, you'll drive out 1,000 before you. Nothing will withstand against you because God's promises are sure.